We see the light, we see the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now we are so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, we see the light. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shalom, my dear brethren. We thank the Lord for this blessed time of fellowship. We thank the Lord for this beautiful, wonderful life that is deeply, deeply calling all of us that we are His children and we are created for Him. We are formed for Him. We are made for Him. And we are redeemed for Him. And He called all of us to live that life, His life, worthy of His calling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for this fourth day of this journey in receiving the blessed insights, inspirations, thoughts from the Lord in His Word concerning this beautiful understanding of do we see Jesus. In order for us to be focused, I'm taking the lessons, examples from the New Testament, because in the Old Testament, if we look at the way God talked to Moses, I will just pass by, you will be hidden in the cleft of the rock, and you don't see my face, you only see my back. And how the Lord dealt with Gideon, Jacob, all those servants of God, seeing the face of God was a deeper spiritual meaning to all of us. But now, this week, we are meditating on perceiving, understanding, believing, embracing, accepting and acknowledging what exactly the Lord is doing in our life today, every day. Because He's writing something in our life, exactly what He had planned according to His will. And if we do not believe Him, we cannot see His works. If we do not embrace the perfect will of God, we cannot see the glory of God. And now we will dive deep into this beautiful ocean of God's love and the depths of His love tells us how much He loves us and what extent He will go to save us, because He is the Savior for us. God in His Word in Christ Jesus. Now let's turn our Bibles to Book of Genesis chapter 50. Let's approach this beautiful chapter from the perspective of what we are eating, the bread of life in the New Testament. Chapter 50, verse 15. Now, Joseph, the Lord exalted him to be the next to the king of Egypt. Now he has the power, authority, he has everything in his hands, and he also saved Israel and Jacob, his father and his brethren, from the famine. Now, the Lord took Jacob. The Lord took him. And after burying the father, now Joseph returned with his brethren. Now, let's see what happens and how Joseph responds to the situation. Verse 15 says, when Joseph's brethren saw that the father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Now, the same brothers who threw Joseph in the pit for him to be killed or taken away, they did not care about him. They did not bother about him. So, they simply sold him as a slave. And because they hated him, there was a hatred As we all know, whenever there is a hatred, we will be completely blinded. We will be completely deaf and dumb, mute. We can't do anything that is acceptable or that brings sweet aroma in the presence of the Lord. Hatred is extremely dangerous. It's poisonous. May the Lord bless us that we are called to hate only those things that the Lord hates. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Praise the Lord. Now, these brethren of Joseph, they were hiding under the shadow of their father Jacob. They thought Joseph will take care of them as long as the father is alive. And if the father is gone, and they understood when the father's burial is completed, they misunderstood that their brother who loves them truly, who loved them truly from all with all his heart, they misunderstood him for a man who might use his power and authority to kill them. Now, the disciples were in the midst of the sea, in a ship. The contrary winds were against them, so they could not go to the shore to bring Jesus on board. So Jesus decided to walk towards them, because whenever the Lord sees us, we cannot do this, because the scripture says the Lord would never allow us to bear anything beyond what we can bear, because the Lord knows what is sufficient in our lives. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our faith level. He knows our capability, and he knows our capacity. He knows everything. So he is a provider. He gets things done either through you or by you, or he himself will intervene and will make sure that we get everything that we need. Children of Israel would lack nothing in the wilderness. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because we follow him. So these brethren, they received everything in the land of Egypt for them to survive from the famine. But still, just because the father is taken, they lack their trust, their love for their brother who truly loved them as a brother, but rather they saw him as a man next to king who might exert his authority and who might impose all his power upon their heads to investigate them, to inquire them, and to judge them for what they did. If it was the case, Joseph could have killed them the moment he saw them. But no, it was not Joseph who wanted to take revenge or avenge himself. It was Joseph who was called by God. He was always under the will of God. So they thought they are seeing Joseph. But do you see here? They are not seeing Joseph. So now imagine these brethren standing in front of Joseph, and Joseph standing in front of them. They are facing each other. Now all of them might think, I'm seeing Joseph. No, actually there is only one who has that vision, who has the set of eyes to see. That was Joseph, because he was able to see his brothers in love, and he knows what he should do for them. There was an understanding with wisdom. He is the only one at that point of time, at that point of place, who had the two sets of eyes. The eyes that sees the brother, and the spiritual eyes that knows the will of the father and what he needs to do. The true vision in our life is the eyes that understands, the eyes that sees the righteousness of God upon your life. So now these brethren, they were seeing Joseph as a man in Egypt, not as their brother in their own household. So they were not seeing. So they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died. See, they could not even utter the words, our father. They completely excluded themselves, even from the household of Jacob, by uttering their lack of understanding. They said, thy father. Jacob is the father of all, the brethren and Joseph. Joseph is part of the brethren, but they excluded him and also excluded themselves by saying, thy father. You could see the same pattern when King Saul met Prophet Samuel. he told him, "Let's go and worship thy Lord." He was telling Samuel before, "Our God, our Lord." But after the fall, he told Prophet Samuel, "Let's go and worship thy God." So there is an exclusion, a division, even without their consent, without their knowledge, because we will utter what is deeply buried in our hearts. So, verse 17, it says, "They, so shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." Now they say, God of thy father. Previously they said, thy father. Now they tell Joseph, God of thy father. They should tell him, God of our father, our God, our father. So what happened to Joseph, my brethren? And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus wept. That's what we were focusing yesterday. If you meditate on the chapters where you read, Jesus wept when he saw Jerusalem. Jesus wept when he saw the sisters of Lazarus. Jesus wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a very intense situation when the Lord cries, wept. And that is something always linked to Jesus saw Jerusalem. Jesus saw the sisters. Jesus saw the perfect will of God upon his life and he embraced it. So there is a seeing, embracing, seeing, believing, seeing, accepting, seeing, acknowledging, seeing, receiving. The word seeing is so, so deep for all of us because we are not any men or any women. We are the children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Mighty One and the Holy One of Israel. And Joseph wept because he saw their brethren. They could not see him. They could not see his love. They could not see his care and affection that he has for his brothers. And he was surprised and shocked and stunned by looking at the brothers who thought that he would kill them. Irrespective of showing all his love, his forgiveness to them, irrespective of whatever they did to him, he still embraced them, hugged them, and he hugged Benjamin and cried for the love that he has for him. So what the brethren did, they went and fell down before his face and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." He wanted to hug them as brothers and friends, and they wanted to separate him as a man who has the power and authority who can kill them. So they feared him with the fear of death. That is not the fear of God that we all should have right now. We have the fear of God rooted in the love and the truth, the way he loves us, the way he mold our life. So Joseph is telling them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, for God is good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." He did not say to save such people. How beautiful it is. Praise the Lord. He said to save much people because Joseph knows God is all about saving his children, saving his souls, redeeming his souls, his people, much people alive. "Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Hallelujah. "I will nourish you." Jesus said, "Eat this bread of life. Drink this new covenant. Drink into my spirit. Eat my body, the bread of life. And your little ones, you babes, I feed you with spiritual milk, but you will grow and you will eat the meat." And he comforted them. The Lord blessed all of us. What we need, the power of the Holy Ghost, the promise, the comforter that we all need to be a witness unto him. "And spake kindly unto them." He is still speaking to all of us today, every day in his word by the comforter, the spirit that guides all of us. Do we see him? Do we see Joseph? Do we see Jesus as our savior, our master, our friend, our prophet, our high priest, our prince of peace, our prince of life, wonderful counselor, everything that he is, who he is? Or do we see him, Our Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father, the glorious Jesus Christ. He is going to come soon. He is going to come with a winepress in his hands. He is going to destroy all. He is going to judge all the evildoers to the death. Do we fear him because he had the power and dominion over all? Or do we fear him because the love that he showed us in Calvary? The brothers of Joseph, they thought they were seeing Joseph. But the truth is, they were blinded. They could not see Joseph. They saw the man who was seated next to the king in terms of power and authority to rule the entire country. They did not see their loving brother who is seated in their households as their own brother, sharing the same blood of the Father. May the Lord speak to our hearts. How do you see Jesus today? Do you think you must believe him, you must go to church, you must join the fellowship, you must join the prayers, you must do this and that out of compulsion just because you want to enter into heaven? Is that it? Is that it? Is that agape love? The Lord is beyond what we want to benefit from him. He is your benefit. He is your reward. He is the gift. He is the fruit. He is the promised land. Having him is all we can desire in this beautiful journey of following him. Having him. It's not what he brings to the table. It is him who is the table. It is him who is everything to us. It is him. It is he. It is I, he said to all of us. Joseph told his brothers, "Don't be troubled. I love you." He comforted them. Irrespective of their lack of faith and lack of understanding, still, he decided to feed them so that they can grow. So that they can grow. Hallelujah. Now, in Luke chapter 18, there is a beautiful healing takes place, which is very similar to what we just read in Genesis chapter 50. There is a blind man sitting near the city of Jericho. Verse 35, chapter 18, the book of Luke. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way of sight begging." It's very similar to the lame who was sitting near the beautiful gate and begging, asking for alms. Now, the next two verses, I was so blessed when I received these two verses straight into my heart. Because this man cannot see. Unlike the man who was possessed by unclean spirit that we discussed yesterday, unlike those disciples who were in the midst of the sea with the boat, with the ship, and unlike Mary who was looking for the body of Jesus, this man cannot see. He's blind. But what he can see is by hearing. 36 says, "And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant." Hallelujah. Now, the only thing that he can do is use the two ears, left and right, that was still functioning, working in his body, and he is trying to make the most of it because it is sufficient. It is sufficient. Whatever the Lord has provided you today, my brethren, tell yourself in your heart, in the name of the Lord, it is sufficient. Contentment and joy. With just those hearing ears that can hear, he heard the multitude noise. He asked them what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. So he first heard the multitude passing by. Then he asked them what it is. And they said, Jesus is passing by. Now you remember the sound of many waters. It's so beautiful. It's very deep. This man, let's say he's sitting near a tree and he hears the noise of a river flows. He could not see the river, but he understand it is the sound of river is flowing next to me. So, very similar to that, the fountain of life, the water of life is walking, and the fountains of life, the waters of life, the followers of Christ, the disciples of Christ, they are following him. The multitude is following him. So, he heard the noise of the multitude. He heard the testimony of the brothers and sisters in Christ as we live today. The testimonies, the noise, the beautiful song of salvation, the proclamation of faith. He heard the multitude. If they were silent, if they were super silent, he could not have heard them. He heard the multitude. Because of that, he has them, and they told him, Jesus is here. What he did? He cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Praise the Lord. The man possessed with unclean spirit, he saw Jesus afar off. He ran to him and he worshipped him. This man who cannot see Jesus because he's blind, but still he saw him by hearing. He saw him by hearing. And he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. But those who were around him, they rebuked him. He said, they told him, hello, keep quiet, be silent, hold your peace. But he did not stop for anyone. Nobody could contain him. No chains can put him into silence. No man can tame him. No man, because he was speaking utterance of boldness. He cried so much the more, Thou, Son of David, have mercy on me. Praise the Lord. The more he was suppressed, the more he cried. Because it says that he cried so much the more, so that his voice can be heard by his Savior. And Jesus stood, because he showed his faith, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, he knows exactly what he wants, but still he wanted him to speak. Because the part of the word must speak the words of life, to show that it is from the word of life, the tree of life. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He is asking him specifically, what do you want? Because the double-edged sword is very sharp in speaking, in hearing, in listening, and in doing. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So what Jesus said, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. So he's telling him literally, walk by faith, not by sight. What he did, he immediately received his sight. Straight away they knew him. He immediately received his sight and followed him. And glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. That is the true healing he received on that day. Not the two sets of the eyes, the two eyes that are of flesh. No, that the eyes of spirit, that he can see the righteousness of God, that he should follow him. Because Jesus did not tell him to follow me. He simply said, your faith saved you. How it saved you? By making you to follow me. By making you to see me. The eyes of righteousness, the eyes of faith. That is the true healing received. And that healing was always profitable, because those who saw him, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. Ask yourself a question today. Does people around us, do they give praise unto God for our life? Do we live a life that is worthy of praise, that is worthy of glory and honor unto his name, to be worthy of his calling? If we do so, amen. We see Jesus and people see Jesus in our lives. We saw Jesus and people saw Jesus in our life. We will see Jesus and people will see Jesus in our life, through our life. That is the true shining the light experience of our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord, my precious dear brethren. By God's grace, we shall continue this journey tomorrow. We thank the Lord for he healed us. May the Lord teach us to see the true Joseph, the real Joseph, who was filled with love, compassion, righteousness for his brethren. Although he had power, he chose grace and mercy for them. But yet, he is righteous to them. But in our life, there is only one righteous, the righteous Lord, the righteous judge, the tree of righteousness, the tree of life, our Savior, our Master. He is standing in our heart. When we see him, let us not fear him. Let us not fear him for punishment or something bad may come to us. No, that is not the fear. Let us love him and truly and fear him, because he loved us first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the Lord teach us to see Christ the way he wants us to see him, to follow him and to embrace him and to accept whatever he do in your life. Just praise the Lord and thank the Lord and accept him, because his righteousness is sweeter than the sweetest gifts that you can see in this earth, which is vanity. May the Lord teach us to see the things of eternity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, my precious dear brethren. Have a beautiful day with our beautiful Lord. Amen and amen.